Hello, church family. My name is Marilyn Mitchell, and I'm the Women's Ministry Director for New Vision's Buchanan Campus. And today we get to continue this beautiful passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'll be reading verses 19 through 22 in the English Standard Version. And it says this: Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Well, friends, if you've been following along with us, you know that these are just a small portion of a much greater list of these beautiful points that are being made to the church in Thessalonica by Paul, who desperately and wonderfully and wholeheartedly loves them. He loves these brothers and sisters and has spent so much of this book to them, just encouraging and exhorting them to really step into what it means to be a Christ follower. And so here it's ending, you know, it's towards the end of this letter. And Paul just, I just love it. I just feel like this could have been a parent or a friend of ours today, right? We see so many good lists that get passed around social media of someone who reaches a certain point in their life and they have really valuable advice to give to those who are behind them. And we listen to that. We resonate with that because we know they've been there. We know that they have seen some things, right? They've done some things. They've been through some things. And so when they speak these urgent messages, we want to listen. We want to acknowledge that, yes, they know, and that makes sense, right? And I sense that that's what Paul is doing here. As he finishes this letter, he's like, man, I could have written book after book after book to these beloved brothers and sisters. And so now it's like, I just want to get in every possible word, every possible encouragement I can to help them, to guide them, to encourage them as they walk this difficult road. And so here in these verses, you know, for the previous verses, we've been encouraged to not repay evil for evil, to rejoice, to give thanks. Oh, such important things. And now verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? You know, if you have been in church circles a long time, maybe you have heard some teaching on this, but frankly, I think everyone would acknowledge that the Holy Spirit doesn't get as much time often, especially in more traditional evangelical formats, as he should. He's a full person of the Trinity. And so I wanted to read to you just a few things. You know, we just recently had the joy of hearing R.T. Kendall teach us about pleasing God. And he wrote another book, but in it, he speaks a lot about the Holy Spirit. And he gives these 21 points about the Holy Spirit. And so I'm just going to read those really quickly because I think it's helpful. The Holy Spirit is God. Scripture tells us that. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is eternal. He is the Spirit of truth. He was involved in creation and using people. He wrote the Bible. He's our teacher and can be grieved, can be quenched, will be the one who convicts. He is our guide. He speaks only what the Father gives him to say. He will predict the future. He will glorify Jesus Christ. He can be blasphemed. He is our reminder. He gives power. He manifests through various spiritual gifts, and he directs people to Jesus and makes him real. He manifests through various fruit, and he gives renewed power. Those are just a few, just 21 few points that I think are so important about the Holy Spirit. But when we think about who the Holy Spirit is and how he is given to us as the Comforter, I think that not quenching the Spirit makes a lot more sense, because if we have this power, and we do, if we are Christ followers, if we have God eternal within us in the Spirit of truth, guiding us and leading us and speaking only what the Father has to say, then surely, surely, friends and family, we do not want to quench that. We do not want to hinder the fullness of what he is doing in and through us. And so not quenching the Spirit means not walking in sin, belligerently, not holding on to sin in our hearts. The Spirit is most active and most alive in us when we have made room for him to do so. And when we are surrendered completely, we lay aside all that which so easily besets us, and we live and walk in the Spirit. because that's what he's called us to do. So Paul wants these people to know, do not quench the spirit. Again, R.T. Kendall in his book about pleasing God says that that's one of his most important advice to give any pastor or anyone, any Christian, any servant of the Lord, is don't quench the spirit. Because when we are feeling weak, it is through the Spirit of God that we are made strong. So I think that's just super important to be reminded of this morning. And do not despise prophecies. So do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. I was raised in a rather legalistic environment, a pretty strict church environment, focused in many ways less on grace and more on works, which thankfully the Lord has redeemed me from, that only his work is what has count, and only his work makes us righteous. But I think that there is a tendency in some of those environments, and maybe in yours as well, where it seems like many in the church are kind of the Holy Spirit and prophecy is an area that we tiptoe on eggshells around. And so I love that Paul, because clearly that must have been an issue in their time as well. It's strange in their time as much as it is in ours that some people, it's hard to understand those who don't have the revelation of the Spirit. Of course, it's going to be hard to understand that. But Paul wants them to know, don't quench the spirit. That's where your power and your guidance and your comfort is. And don't despise prophecies. Don't just lay aside these things that are telling us what is important for now and for the future. And so, but then very quickly behind that, which is wise, is this reminder and this admonition to test everything and then hold fast to what is good. I'm going to use an example that I don't know if it'll be very popular, so forgive me in advance if I step on your toes, but I think that what comes to my mind immediately as I read those verses is the very popular and incredibly profound, I think, television series The Chosen. I think that for me personally, it has been so powerful to see people in the flesh demonstrating what happened in Christ. There's just something about being able to visualize it and to really see and consider the full humanity of all of these people, these characters in scripture, these legitimate historical figures, right? So there's so much good with that. But I would also say that verse 21 should be applied heavily to that show. Test everything and hold fast what is good, because there are some things where unfortunately, I believe that the producers have decided to fictionalize certain portions, and I think their hearts may be good in that they're trying to just make us think more critically about what it really did mean for these human people with their human flaws and for us to see ourselves in them. And so, again, so much value in that, but we have to be so careful. We have to test everything, because when they're sharing pieces or opinions about what could have happened, it's not what did happen. And so we have to be very careful not to accept as truth something that is meant to simply make us think. And so, but to me, I've heard some people say that they refuse to watch The Chosen. That's certainly okay. Follow the Spirit if that's your conviction. For me, I haven't felt that conviction that it's not okay. But the strong conviction that I've felt for me personally is that I have to hold fast what is good and reject the rest. I have to acknowledge what does not align with Scripture and say that is not true. But I do, you know, I can still understand this thought behind trying to think through some of these difficult areas, but then I can hold fast to what is good. I can see it so beautifully portrayed, this compassion of our Savior, the angst he felt as he wept for Lazarus, all of these things. Like, I think it's just there's good there, but we have to hold fast to what is good and test everything. So that's what came to my mind when I read those. And then verse 22 was abstain from every form of evil. Can I just say that without the Spirit, I don't think that's possible. And I think that's why Paul starts with do not quench the Spirit. We are so prone to wander. I am so prone to wander. And it's the Spirit who holds me fast. It's the Spirit who helps me to sense and to see, wow, Marilyn, that's not right. This isn't pleasing to the Lord. And so sometimes we look for the obvious things. Oh, well, I don't do this. I don't do this. I don't do that. So that's real evil. You know, the real evil is X, Y, and Z. And the reality, the real evil is anything that contradicts the holiness of what God has called us into. It's anything that sets ourselves or our desires or our wants higher than God's. And so, abstain from every form of evil is so much broader and deeper and wider than I think even we can imagine. And so we desperately need to have a fully active spirit within us to guide us in the truth. And so, as Paul did, I just encourage you with that same voice that I feel like he's saying these things. I just encourage you, don't quench the spirit. Don't dim and dampen the power of Christ within you, because it overcomes all. And so everywhere that you feel inadequate, that you feel weak, that you feel unable, that's exactly where the Spirit wants to flood into that place and do exactly what only He, as part of the Trinity, can do. And so I love it. I want so bad to jump ahead to verses 23 through 24, but I pray that you will join us for the next session and dive deeply into those beautiful verses. You are loved.